There are only 12 verses in today's gospel reading, but boy, they are packed with emotion and teaching. We've got focus and faith, fear and doubt, worry and worship, courage and risk. I hope to expand on some of these themes throughout this sermon. A few months ago, I came across a quote on Facebook on the Mindful Christianity Today page. It said, "Two people read the same Bible. One sees reason to love, the other sees reasons to hate. One sees unity, the other division. One finds prejudice, the other equality. One discovers compassion, the other indifference. One goodwill, the other malice. Two people, one book. One book, two views. The book is a mirror. The reflection is you." Yes, the quote is a simplified thought about polar reactions to a complex book. But there is something in it that resounds. We do project and taint when we read, through what we've been through, our core beliefs, some inherited, some picked up on the way, and it can be filtered through the lens of how we're feeling at the time. We can each read the same story and pull out different angles, views, lessons, call them what you will. I think I touched on this in my first sermon when I spoke about our different prisms. I love that our shared thoughts on each reading can open each other's eyes to something new, or it can encourage and confirm a thought you had before, or really challenge us. Now, when I discovered I was on the rota to preach on these verses in Matthew, to be honest, my heart sank a little, and I was really put off starting it. It's not the Jesus walking on water and him calming the storm bit that caused this reaction. It was my reaction to the Peter's lack of faith bit. I've said before that I have a soft spot for Peter and his jump in with both feet personality. I didn't want him told off by Jesus. Well, that's how I read it, as an angry scold followed by a sigh. When I shared this thought with my friend Louise, she sounded a little shocked because that's not how she read it at all. When Jesus said, "You have little faith," she gave it a different, compassionate tone. He said it like, "Oh, Peter, you were so close in making it to me. Why did you doubt?" She saw it not as a beration, but a heartfelt response from Jesus. So why did I initially view this communication between Jesus and Peter in this way? I think the mirror I saw in the text was me as Peter, having done wrong, being berated, and I personally shrink from authority or authoritative tones. Nobody likes to be told they're wrong or they have flaws. And yes, I know Peter had flaws. But I wanted to speak up for him and say, well, at least he got out of the boat. He made a move that no other disciple did. A good number of years ago, I was into reading autobiographies. But I stopped reading them because I disliked finding their self-confessed faults. I didn't want to see them tainted by some seedy dealings or selfish actions, stupid mistakes. But these human failings do happen, some intentionally, some not. I wonder if I reread those stories now, if I'd have more heart for them. After all, none of us are spotless and without sin. It's funny how our change of perspectives happen through time. If Peter hadn't faltered on the waves, there'd be no lesson. And we would just be in awe of his faith and not his humanness. And that probably would make him less relatable. When Jesus asks Peter to come to him, Peter took that step out of the boat, and those first few steps in the water. It was when he was focused on Christ and Christ's ability that he was able to do that. But when his focus changed to the gale and the billowing waves, he faltered. His fear grew, his doubts were possibly more about his own inabilities than Jesus's, as he was no longer focusing on him. It was pretty foolhardy anyway for a fisherman to make that move to join JC in the water. As a fisherman, he would know of the clear and present danger of the dark depths and choppy lake or sea, more than the disciples who were not used to many hours in the water fishing. I'm sure he'd know of fellow fishermen lost to the waves. I imagine him thinking of them as he questioned what he was doing. His inward voice saying, what are you doing, Peter? Don't you remember the many lives taken by these waters? Like old Uncle Barnabas, God rest his soul. I don't know where that accent came from. Peter had initial faith and courage to take those first steps out of the boat. His courage can be missed as we read quickly on to see him sink. Courage can so often be overlooked. One of my favourite quotes is by Mary Ann Radmacher, and I've come back to it many times. She wrote, "Courage doesn't always roar. Sometimes courage is the still small voice at the end of the day that says I will get back up and try again tomorrow." I'm sure Peter and his bold heart learnt from this. He'd brush himself down and swear that he'd never let his best friend and master down again. We all know he didn't always succeed in this. He denied knowing Jesus 3 times when fearful of getting arrested. Yep, fear got in the way again. It must have plagued Peter's heart. But Jesus returned to him later and gently forgave him 3 times. I have heard it said that a mistake that makes you humble is better than an achievement that makes you arrogant. I'm glad that Jesus let Peter stumble and helped him again and again. So what are the lessons for us? Do we keep focus on Christ when we are venturing into something new, when we take our first steps out of the safety of a metaphoric boat? We can often avert our gaze from Christ's will for us and enshroud ourselves in fear, preventing progress. Fear can paralyse us from doing much good. We need reminded that perfect love drives out fear. And the love is heard in Christ's words, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." The love is shown when he immediately grabs Peter to save him from sinking. His love is known when he utters, "You of little faith," because he doesn't say, "You of no faith." A little faith can grow like the proverbial mustard seed. Jesus offers hope. In one of their darkest experiences, when the disciples felt they were all going to die in the boat, they are rescued and he calms the storm. He can calm the storms in our lives, or at least give us peace of heart to buckle down and get through it. A life coach called Mark Chernoff says, "What you focus on grows. Stop managing your time, start managing your focus." So what are we each focusing on just now in life? Maybe our mustard seed of faith needs nurturing and focus. Maybe we feel bogged down with life and are struggling to focus at this time. It's okay, God is patient. He is there even when we don't acknowledge him. He is there even when we don't see his hand picking us up from danger. He is there for us saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And like Peter, we will stumble and fall and make mistakes in life. but Christ is full of love. He has walked this earth. He knows how hard it is. His love is bigger than any mistake we make. And like today's psalm says, he will speak peace to us if we turn our hearts to him. Amen.